Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Revelle, and this is Value Side at the Close. Right now, the debt ceiling agreement still has a ways to go. Stocks and oil close higher, bonds, gold, lower. That and today's market comment, coming right up. Well, it turns out that the debt ceiling extension that was touted by Senator Schumer earlier this morning still has a ways to go before the Senate's final vote, and that's turning out to be more of a challenge than they previously thought. Schumer has scheduled votes through Saturday, just in case the Senate cannot come up with an agreement, and that agreement is looking a little dicey right now, frankly. But all that didn't matter to stocks. They heard what they wanted to hear. The debt ceiling is taken care of, and Wall Street has been off to the races ever since. The Dow is up nearly one full percentage point, as is NASDAQ, with the Standard & Poor's 500 right behind. Oil, both Brent and West Texas, also up a percentage point after the Department of Energy indicated that they had no intention of selling off some of the nation's reserves. Gold's bonds and Bitcoin down narrowly, with the rest of the cryptos marginally higher. Now, one of the things we like to do around here is put on our technical hat at the close to see how stocks performed using some basic technical tools, like the 50-day moving average. Now, you may recall that a week or two ago, we saw that the average broke down through their 50-day moving average on the downside. Stocks had already been declining after hitting highs late last month, so now we're seeing that the downtrend is continuing as the averages are remaining below their 50-day average. Today was a case in point, massive rally with the Dow and NASDAQ up nearly a percentage point, as we said, but they were nowhere near breaking above their respective averages. And thus, from a technical perspective, they're still locked into that downtrend. The same was true for the Standard & Poor's 500, incidentally. Now, the same thing also holds for the big five stocks, with one exception. Now, Apple, Facebook, and Google were not able to break through their 50-day moving average either, but the weakest of all stocks in the group, Amazon's not even able to break up through its 200-day moving average. The exception to all of this is Microsoft, which landed squarely on its average and may look poised to break out, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see if that becomes the case. So overall, a very positive day in the stock market, but lacking the follow-through needed to break through those 50-day averages. Stay tuned for today's market comment, Whatever Happened to Evergrande? Well, if you thought it was especially quiet on the Evergrande front this week, you were right. Chinese financial markets were closed for a holiday. But tonight, about the time we're settling in with that nightcap, Chinese markets will reopen on their Friday morning. As it's becoming increasingly obvious that the eyes of the whole world are now focused on Evergrande, the major Chinese real estate company, which skates closer and closer to a financial disaster. And if you think that's a bit of an exaggeration, consider this. A U.S. Secretary of State, our nation's chief diplomat, someone who is in charge of negotiating between nations, a U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, is cautioning China to act, quote, responsibly in its workings with Evergrande. Really? We're now including corporate finance as part of the purview of the Secretary of State? Not the Treasury Secretary or Commerce, but Secretary of State? Fascinating. And it's all part of a global move to place some of these major corporations, particularly big tech, in a much higher status, somewhere just short of being an actual country themselves. In a recent Bloomberg editorial, we were introduced to the new term, corporate superpower. And it seems to be no exaggeration to say that there are corporations today which have reached far beyond their own home countries and impact a vast swath of the world. Look no farther than our own Big Five, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, and Google. Their range of services and financial scope go far beyond the USA. And Blinken, at least tacitly, is making that point about Evergrande. Should Evergrande default, something that appears increasingly likely, the impact it is feared, will be felt worldwide. And Blinken's admonishment that China should act responsibly seems to be a recommendation that China should bail out Evergrande for the good of the world. It's clear that the fear of contagion has now hit Foggy Bottom. However, most Wall Street analysts now feel that China will not bail out Evergrande. Instead, it looks like the Chinese authorities will try to ring-fence the real estate giant and limit its impact, perhaps protect some of the financial companies and banks who are investors in Evergrande. But as for Evergrande itself, it now looks like they are on their own and will be allowed to fail. After all, just this week, Fantasia, a lesser Chinese real estate firm, was indeed allowed to go under the waves. It's a very interesting, distinctly Chinese approach, and a real departure from how the Americans would deal with the problem. Bailouts, after all, have become a normal occurrence on this side of the Pacific. So here's a look at the Evergrande dance card over the next little bit. Everything begins tonight as the Chinese markets reopen after their week-long holiday. Then next week, yet another bond interest payment is due, and this is a brand new bond which we have not yet discussed. And finally, that 30-day grace period for the first set of bonds will expire, and at last those offshore, dollar-denominated bondholders who've been put on hold for a month, they will at last learn their fate. It's been a long, hard struggle with much more to go. The bond payment schedule for Evergrande continues at least through the end of this year. But in our immediate future, look for Evergrande's overnight trading to have a fairly substantial impact on tomorrow's U.S. markets. And that's the value side for this Thursday, October 7. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work. Thank you.